Energikommisjonen har gitt marsjordre. De ønsker mer av alt, raskere. I Europower stiller vi spørsmålet, hvordan bygge mer kraft raskere, uten dødsfall? Kan IT spille en rolle her? Se merkraftraskere.no og ta gjerne kontakt dersom dere har en løsning som kan redde liv.
Welcome to this investor podcast from Europower. Today we are at the Europower Investor Conference at Oslo Event Hub. We are now entering the boardrooms and would like to focus on that part of the industry. And this is where the major decisions are taken or supposed to be taken. And to talk about this, we have a trio of highly qualified people who I think will complement each other very well. Alexandra Bech-Jørv, chair of the board at Statkraft and CEO of Sintef. Cecilie Arnemo Åsmul, CEO of Nøkk Fornybar and board member at the Kvikner Ennebu Power Company. And Jørgen Kildal, non-executive director in Ørsted, Skatec and Alpiq. But here he represents himself and no one else. I'll start with something that we discussed early today. Europower subscribers, when asked, are not very optimistic. 86% says that Norway will not keep the pace needed to reach net zero. The industry itself doesn't really think we will build enough renewable capacity. And the companies that you run from the boardroom as a couple of you as CEOs, big and small, are basically the ones that can make this happen. So, opening question to all of you really is, what did you do at your last board meeting that could give us new production down the line? I'll start with Jørvet and Statkraft.
Okay.
Hired a new CEO.
Exactly. You take my point. We hired a new CEO with strong green ambitions, and that's been very important in her candidacy. And having now run a lot of green investment projects, we think she has strong credentials in that regard. And we also look at, you know, there's always these decision gates on the new power. So we, of course, touched a few of those, but there are a few decision gates left. So no new power out of the boardroom last time.
Mm. But no news on new project you can bring with you from the last board meeting?
No, but we came up with such great news in the beginning of the year with all our investment plans. So I think it would be kind of strange if I had even more news now.
Mm. Åsmul, you run Nøkk Fornybar and obviously appear at the board meetings there. And you're also at the board at Kvikner Ennebu, which is a typical Norwegian power company, actually. Very small, very local. What have you done?
Yeah, both Nøkk and KRK, as we say, are typical small power companies owned by the local the municipalities, but also the inhabitants. It's so-called cooperatives. It's the grid customers that owns the share in the companies. Meaning in the boardroom, you have to remember that your customers are also your owners. Saying exactly what they mean one time a year. but I actually had the board meeting yesterday of Nøkk Fornybar, and we have a lot of projects in solar farms, small-scale hydro, bio, and we're also going to try to realize quite the amount of wind power in our area.
And Kildal, you are at the board of a massive wind power company and also a Skatec who have really, really huge ambitions when it comes to solar worldwide. What can you, you probably can't share anything over the last board meetings, but what can you tell us?
Well, first of all, I can share that I actually decided to step out of the board of Ørsted 5th of March. The reason for that is one topic that has been absent so far, and that's technology. I think that's one of the most important things we actually can discuss in order to open the door for the renewable intermittent ecosystem. So that's why I would then reduce my board positions in order to spend more time with, which I do, on the seed companies, seed financing, and that. But I think that's... Yes, in Skatec, we actually discussed projects in the last board meeting. No secrets about that. When we have a very interesting pipeline and a backlog. And that's, we can discuss Norway, But without Africa and Asia and South America, this transition would not happen. So that's why SCARTEC is very, I would say, also successful to operate in these jurisdictions. But the discussions on the boardroom, I actually would, and I will not go into what I have under the headlines, I would kind of put them in three buckets. One are the common, all boardroom discussions. Example would be legacy IT, also called cybersecurity. Then there are industry-specific topics. And thirdly, the topics that's missing. But we can come back to that.
Thank you. But as you say that you are sort of want to devote more time to the work on technology, is this an aspect that you think we are currently missing out on a bit in the changes that's going on? Because you do mention the intermittent capacity, and which is bound to just grow exponentially, actually, over the next few years.
I think this could be a question to both of us. Norway is leading in digitalizing the system. We have been digitalized for 30 years. And the fact that we can now use big data, now we have a nodal level smart meters, we have an L-hub. So I spent 3 years as a working chairman of eSmart in Halden, where also NTNU and Sintef, of course, are drivers of this technology development. So we have the technology, and I'm just stepping back to that, because now really the AI thing, what we called machine learning 10 years ago, is, you know, the runway has been long, but it's taking off. Mm-hmm. And that's a huge potential for Norway, to because we need to fill that gap. There's nothing happening on the renewable side for the next 5 years anyway. So why don't we just set some very aggressive technology targets for this period? And then we can build a pipeline of windmills and batteries and, you know, hydro later.
Does this resonate with you, Jørv? You're also a CEO of Sintef and obviously interested in this aspect.
I think Jørgen is absolutely right. And the combination of the physical conditions of the Norwegian energy system with so much flexibility, the fact that we have been an open market and a digital market for a long time puts us in a position where we are creating a lot of value already. And I think there's been discussions about the trading and origination business of Statkraft over the last few weeks, and obviously the ability to play on these complex markets with increasing intermittency is part of why Statkraft made so much money in addition to the big volatility in the prices. But the technology, I think there's absolutely room for generational improvements within the technology. We spent a lot of money in Sintef renewing the production planning system that we develop and host, but there's room for much more. And I would strongly encourage both the, you know, the companies, including myself, but also the authorities, to invest more in that kind of technology, because I think NTNU and Sintef and the ecosystem around is really world leading in this context.
Åsmund, does this resonate with you as well? Because, you know, maybe I'm being harsh, but you sometimes sense that the old traditional producers, they sort of have there's a switch, it says it's off and on. You know, you produce for a number of months, and then you maybe turn it off for a couple of weeks, and that you sort of fill up, and then you produce again. But now with the volatility in prices, as someone mentioned, that's not really the economically feasible way to do it. So how do you see technology moving into, like, for instance, Nøkk Fornybar?
Well, we have a small share of hydropower, 50 gigawatt hours in NO3 and 70 in NO1. And they are, of course, run by larger companies, Trønder Energi and Hafslund Eco. And we're dependent on them to having these very good systems from Sintef for the production planning. And we're not going to run our own energy. We're too small for that. And going over to 15 minutes resolution is something we couldn't have done that by ourselves.
Because it's becoming a lot more complex,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes.
And does that sort of create a a burden on the ones who are sitting on the top, not just the CEOs, but actually the board members who may be maybe appointed by local municipalities or appointed by someone and not really equipped to be able to understand those changes? Mm. How do we need sort of completely different people in the boardrooms going forward because it becomes so much more complex?
Yeah, it's definitely being a more complex world. As I mentioned, it's our owners are the grid customers in one end paying the grid rent from us, and then on the other hand, seeing that we had a surplus of 100 million in 2022 because of the high energy prices, it's very difficult to explain. Mm.
But can you use that in order to then find ways to produce more, or are you more stuck in a discussion where you are rather discussing, well, you know, we shouldn't do more because then people will get even more mad at us? And
no, it's been now 50 years of not investing anything in renewable energy, but we have been quite modest in how we share the profit with our owners, meaning we now have a book value of 650 million, and the board has decided now it's time to invest. So it's a really great time to be in an energy company like Nøkk, where it's actually possible to realize a wind farm. And I think it's in our area, Nordre Hedmark, which is one of the best areas for wind production in whole of southern Norway. There's not a single wind project planned because no local politician wants to be seen next to a windmill. But with a local power company like us, we have the trust. We have been, as someone mentioned before lunch, someone needs to have a grown-up talk with the municipalities. We've been doing that now for the last year, both before and after the election. And now we, at least three municipalities are interested in wind power if we are the owner. They know that they will control, that it's being, the profit will go back to the inhabitants, actually.
Mm. Yeah, obviously Statkraft has actually built new power in the next 50, in the last 50 years, but when I questioned the outgoing and also the incoming CEO in January, they both said that you can't really expect any applications from us in 2024. So the increase is coming from abroad. And have you sort of, what do you think Statkraft needs to do in order to help Norway as a society to get these 30 terawatt hours we are talking about over just over the next 10 years, because you are such an important player in this. So if you don't do it, then who should do it?
I don't think there's any hesitance in Statkraft. I think Statkraft wants to develop more power. We launched just in January a plan of record investments up to 6 billion euros in the Norwegian hydro and wind power. Renewal and of existing and construction of new onshore wind farms, more power production, increased capacity, also upgrading. So I think it's actually, you know, we invest in profitable power, of course, but I think it's the permitting and the grid access, that's the challenge. And what you're saying about, you know, local acceptance is super important. I think the policies, the politics around this has become very, very complicated. And, you know, part of what we are discussing in the board is, you know, are there ways of, are there new ways of collaborating with communities? Are there ways of, making people more positive? Although I just saw some recent surveys showing that there's still a majority of the Norwegian population that is in favor of wind farms, but the wind power resistance is very good at communication, and I think this is something that will float back and forth, and hopefully the best projects will come to fruition. Also, of course, this power industry provides a lot of money to other causes. I just checked that we paid 138 billion kroners in tax and dividends since 2010, and I think that can go to green projects and to strømstøtte and other important things.
Kildal, always you mentioned Scatec, for instance, which can be, I don't know, probably it's a wrong way of describing it. It's a bit like a startup, it seems, in the energy sector, and they're sort of very different from Statkraft, I would assume, and possibly also for Ørsted. Are there things that happens in those kind of companies that this industry needs to take on board quickly in order to scale up? Because it doesn't really matter if time is of the essence. We really are short of time.
Yeah, firstly, I worked 11 years also in Statkraft with trading and origination. I think Scatec is also about originating projects. So I was in South Africa a few months ago, and then I can see how they can deploy 1 million solar panels and 300 megawatt batteries, building a line, deploy that in the middle, it's not a central South Africa, within 15 months. Do that. I mean, that's scale. So they can do things at scale, and they can do that I would say, in a very close cooperations with the local authorities and also the central authorities. And I think this is possible, but it requires that you are close to I would say the habitats that you're operating in, and that's one of the core skills in Scatec. And then also there is a kind of a dualism here, because before scale was everything. Now scale is not everything. So the issue that you have with the, how do I really operate in the intraday market, day ahead market, there will be a solution. This is not a competitive advantage that the larger will have. Secondly, as I already mentioned, the technology that can be used in some of these, I would say, countries that Scatec is operating, they can leapfrog. The big utilities, they can't leapfrog. So there was a book once that said that elephants can't dance. Now it can dance, but they can't. We all know that. So the inertia, the time it takes, the way they think of structural sequential planning is slowing them down. I think it can be done, but that's actually on this part that is missing on the board meetings that I'm. Well, it's in there, but it's not really on the top. And I think we also should not only focus on Norway, because there's a world outside there, and the geopolitical situation is not really good. So that's a major risk. The legacy IT is actually the mother or father of cybersecurity issues that we have, with the business, with the redundancy that we have in our systems. These are big topics in addition to the ESG. And I think what's happening now in the CSRD is actually good news. Now we really have to commit, we have to document. And many discussions are now, aren't this just a bureaucratic monster of EU? Could be, but it's needed, because otherwise players won't deliver. And I think that will also speed up things.
1 million panels in 15 months, that's roughly 2.5 a decision from for NVE in that time space.
It's so 540 megawatts photovoltaic.
I was not in the boardroom of Statkraft when they decided to buy Solar Century, but I think, the cultural, well, not just the culture, but, the work processes involved in developing less complex energy projects is probably part of why this big organization was bought, and the fact that in order to take a meaningful position in the solar industry, it was a good move to actually acquire someone who had those skills. I think you see that more and more develop working with large companies together with startups, finding a good pace change.
I want to bring in an aspect that Mr. Jason Cheng put forward earlier before lunch today, that he talked a bit about the need to understand that we have to also have a cultural change, and you can't really just keep going with the same kind of old company when you're trying to do new things, which was, I'm paraphrasing here, but hopefully that was what he meant. And for Statkraft, for instance, you're used to planning 20, 30, 40 projects maybe a year, or it's going to look like this, and it's going to. Is it possible to sort of become that agile organization, technology driven, that, that maybe Kildal is looking to help going forward?
Well, that's obviously something we're working hard at. Right now, we have 400 projects in the pipeline, so we're handling 400 projects at the same time. It's it also challenges the boardroom, and that's one of the things we talked about. How do we make efficient decisions? How do we not become, you know, how do we assert our control function while not becoming bottlenecks in the development? I think that's. I don't think I will say too much because we haven't had enough time to discuss it, but it's certainly something we're addressing.
Yeah, and you would like to challenge the CEO, or I'm a CEO as well in a very, very small company, but still, you want a board that's actually challenging you, and you want board meetings where you can actually feel that you are taking part in the discussion that brings us forward and not just saying yes or no to my suggestions.
Right.
So how do you make sure that you have a... Well, it's not your job to sort of tell who's going to be board members, but you know, how do you discuss between yourselves? How do we keep relevant, be relevant to the new CEO of Statkraft? Do you have the competence you need?
Well, I think those that I met had excellent competence from the energy business, from energy consumer side, from strategy, from finance and control. From Norway and abroad, and I think my job is to work hard on the agenda so there's time to use that competence. Because if you have 400 projects underway, you can spend all your time doing paperwork, which is important because it's, you know, the quality assurance is obviously central to the board's activity, but finding the time to really co-create a strategy with the administration is what I enjoy in SINTEF with my board. I think I've never gone into a board meeting and not been smarter going out, because the board challenges me all the time, and I think that's really rejuvenating.
Mm. You're part of NUC, Osmerland. It seems like they are sort of a small concern that really wants to do a lot of things. Well, maybe 10 years ago, it was sort of, it was just like, you know, let's do it what we did last year.
Yeah, and I had a thought about the bottlenecks, because you don't want to be the bottleneck. And the board of NUC and Qualco is not the bottleneck. We are very agile. We are dancing. We had 4 applications to NV on solar farms for 1.5 years ago. But that's the bottleneck. I mean, first, the bottleneck is to have the grid infrastructure. But since we were first movers in the solar farm industry in Norway, we have reserved the capacity. Like, we have half of the 80 megawatt available in Mjøsringen. But then it stops at NV. I mean, the projects are like 5, 7, 10, and 15 megawatts. There's no opponents. Everyone is in favor of it. And it takes 1.5 years. We're still waiting. I can't believe it. And I called last week and I said, what is taking so long? And they said at the NVE license department that, well, it's almost ready. It's just that when we reached 2024, we have to use new economic numbers for our social economic analysis. And that won't change anything. A solar farm in Norway are still marginally non-economic. So it's just so bureaucratic.
Mm. And this is, of course, a common criticism within the industry that so the regulators are not keeping pace. And maybe to a bigger extent in this industry than others, the regulators and their technological advancement or efficiency is quite important. And Kildal, going back to your technology issue and point, is that from what I'm hearing here, it seems that sort of some smart algorithms could maybe help a long way to remove some of these bottlenecks. Or is that just too simple-minded to say?
No. I think that if we think of this very kind of tabloid, today, the way we think about the grids and the TSOs, they are doing a top-down optimization, which is very unprecise. I know this is they will probably call me afterwards. But that's basically what they do. There's not really an innovation factor built in how they will develop the grid. Whilst we have the opportunity to do this bottom up. But if you look at the grids, they just show the 100 years of development. I'm an economist, so I can say things like this. You can see that you built the factory close to the power station. That was a local grid. And then you have a more regional grid, and then a national, etc. And then you have the voltage levels. That's representing a technical development. Organizationally, also within, that's my point that probably should be on the agenda, is what's the implication for the organizations? Because Chandler, I think it was it's 62, a historian, he wrote a book about strategy and structure. And we always say that structure follows strategy and systems follow structure, right? That's not the case anymore. The systems are defining the structure and the organization much more. And I think that's really the core of the challenge that the industry has, is to take out the low-hanging fruits, use the decentralized energy resources, et cetera. And that, I think we could say, we had a, I would say, back of an envelope, 25-30% of the capex in the grids could be saved by using new technology. That's a lot of money. Mm.
And is that, just a quick follow-up then, is that also a problem where you can say that sort of the old organizations are really hindering the progress because, well, we think that, well, we have to ask Statnet if we can use this much power locally.
I wouldn't criticize the successful organization. I just believe that there is a transformation coming as a consequence of the new tools that we have. And I already mentioned the legacy IT as a huge issue for all the larger corporations that I know. Banks, insurances, utilities, all over the place. They are trying to do the new things and the old things in parallel, and that proves to be quite challenging. And I think that's just something that the boardrooms need to focus on and crack that code.
Mm. You were nodding, Åsmund. I'll get to you, Jo, in a moment. But you were nodding, Åsmund, when Kilda was talking. It seemed that you agreed on that issue. That
yeah, the grid. It was an interesting debate before lunch about maybe private investments in grid could be the solutions. And we had a visit from Innovation Norway on Friday up at Tynset. They were coming along with a German company having a new patented wind technology. They were looking for land. And I said, yeah, sure, we have land. We are landowners. We have municipalities that are in favor of wind. I have to warn you, there's no grid here. And I told him how many hundred millions he would have to pay in grid infrastructure investment contribution, anleggsbidrag. And he said, the money is no problem. The problem is land.
Yeah.
I think both are problems. if I can just follow up on what Jürgen was saying, I think you're right. I worked with grid a lot about 10 years ago, and I found the grid companies to be incredibly conservative. And I think it has to do with the regulation. I think it's changed quite a bit. And I think, the authorities need to follow the rules. So how do you develop the rules so that the rules fit the new needs? And I have one good example from SINTEF, where we have had a European project called the Garpur, I guess it must have had some Icelandic pilot, having to do with changing the redundancy needs in the grid, the N-1 principle, where you say with all this digital ability to influence how the grid is utilized, maybe you don't need these belts and suspenders at the same time. And we also have projects now with a startup company, Heimdall. Many people know about that. I know many of the grid companies are working at with other, to detect how much capacity is there really in the grid today. You couldn't think about that before. Before it was just a tube. Now you can make a more specific precision utilization of the grid. Mm-hmm. And then of course also the algorithms to govern the grid that you talked about, Jürgen, is very important. And I've sometimes challenged whether the economic regulation of the grid companies is a strong disincentive to experiment. I get different answers every time, so I just leave it as a question that I will keep asking.
Mm. We'll round off with one question to you. I'll put it to each of you, and we can start at the end with Åsmund. If there is one thing you would like to see happen in the next year or within 2024 that would help you do your job as a CEO and as a board member, either from the government or, you know, what's that one thing that you definitely would like to have that would improve conditions?
A new incentive criteria for the grid companies, and more people at the license department at NVE.
And Kildal, what are your thoughts on that?
I think in order to meet these challenges that we have, there is a need of public-private cooperation that is much more aligned than it is today.
Mm. And Jelle, finally, what do you think? What is one thing that you think?
I was going to ask for more people at the NVE department as well, but then I'll take my second. I think this public-private partnership is also done through research, and unfortunately, there's been quite a lot of cutbacks in the last 2 years, significant cutbacks from the Energy Ministry on the money that releases the private-public cooperation around new technology, and I think that's a misunderstanding, because it sounds like research is far into the future, but this is actually delivering results today.
Mm. Then I thank this panel for a very interesting discussion. Alexandra Bekjerv, Chair of the Board at Statkraft and CEO of SINTEF. Cecilie Anemo Åsmund, CEO of NOK Fornybar and the board member at Kvikne Rennebu Power Company. Jørgen Kildal, non-executive director in Ørsted, well, stepping down. Scartec and Alpic, but representing himself and no one else. My name is Ole Petter Pedersen, editor-in-chief of Europower, and this has been a recording from the Europower Investor Conference.